And I'm ready for change. I so want to see God represented through people just like you in the earth today. We are his representation. If God's going to show up, he's going to do it through you.
Yes, amen.
And I'm believing God to show up tonight. In a manner that that some people would scoff at, but I scoff at nothing that comes from God, and he uses simple people. Not to suggest that anyone here is simple in the sense of simple, but he uses the simple things to confound the wise. And so tonight we're going to just pray and believe God that God is going to have his way. You feel like surrendering tonight? You feel like just saying, Lord, I want to shake it all off and come into your presence in a new dimension, in a new way, a new and a living way, and to even feel his presence and his power here in this gathering tonight. So let's join our hearts. Father, we just say thanks, Lord, for your greatness and your mercy to us and your love for us. And Lord, tonight, as I have mentioned, I pray that our hearts and minds and spirits will be so receptive to the engrafting of the true and living Word of God, which is eternal. And that, Lord, it will not return void, but that it is life-giving and it is life-changing. So, Lord, through your servant, Des Walter, tonight, I pray that there will come a refreshing sound that will quicken us, that will encourage us, and that will edify us, not into our sensual realm, but into the spirit of what we really are. So, Lord, have your way here tonight and bless this people. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So tonight, it's an honor for me to, for those of you that have not met Des before, and even those that have, to have Des Walter with us, and to take on his journey around the world. He'll share with you where he's all been, but to come and visit us here in Allendale and be with us for this time. And so I have great regard for Des. He's a godly man, and he's a vital instrument, sharing a vital principle, which is spirit from God himself. So, Des, without further ado, take your liberty in the Lord and share God's goodness with us. Would you do that?
Amen.
Would you greet him tonight?
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Come in, please. Have a seat. These are the Louisville ladies?
Yeah.
Or did I say it? Louisville. This is Deborah and
Debbie
and Deborah. Hey, come on now, the Dedes. Good to have you here.
Well, praise the Lord. You must be very special people here, because I was not really prepared to minister on the subject that God has given me, but somebody's been praying and saying, Lord, we want to hear something tonight.
Yeah.
And I think you've been prophesying. You know, we've got to learn how to do that. Remember that God is spirit, and therefore whatever God does, he does by speaking a word. And we've got to learn how to do that, because that's how we're going to make things happen on this earth. I'm going to start with a verse here in Jeremiah, chapter 1, and verse 5. And I don't know how far we're going to get with this tonight. Maybe we will finish it tomorrow night. We'll just see what happens. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in your mother's womb,
yes,
I knew you.
Yes.
This is God speaking,
yes,
to you. He's talking to you tonight. Before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, God said, I knew you. What does that mean? It means that your life did not begin the day you were born from your mother. You were alive a long time before that. And God said, I knew you then. So that means that you had an existence before your birth into this world. So these things are very important to us because we need to know. I mean, religion has simply picked up man as he's born into this world, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, out of favor with God, and headed for hell. You know, that's basically what the religious world tells us. It's not true, of course. And now, you know, today in the religious world again, if you want to know Jesus Christ, now you have to give your heart to Jesus. You have to believe he died for you on the cross. You have to do this, say this, and whatever. And now you're born again. I want to tell you, you were with God before you were ever born on this earth. Not only that, let me tell you a little bit more here. Because God, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, he sanctified you. Amen. Come on, you weren't even born. God didn't know whether you were going to do good or whether you were going to be a misfit or whatever. He didn't know then, surely. I think he did. But from our point of view, he said, I sanctified you. What's that mean? He set you apart from the rest of this world. Come on. You thought you just, you know, it was your decision. Oh, yes, I think I'll give my heart to Jesus. Oh, come on. No, no. God sanctified you, set you apart before you were born. Had nothing to do with what you did or what you were going to do on this earth. Had nothing to do with that. Because this is before you were even conceived. You were sanctified. Hey, but that's not all. Do you want the next little bit? Because you see, it also says here that you were ordained. Now I thought that was just for the pastors, you know. See, the pastors have got to be ordained and you've got to have a certificate you put up on the wall which says that so-and-so put his hands upon you and he has separated you unto the Lord and for the ministry and you are now qualified to become a pastor. But I want to tell you, every one of you have been ordained of God with a ministry. And if there's one thing that's got to change in this whole world system and God's people in it, it's got to be that those that are doing the work of God is not the man out the front, but it's every one of you people. You've got to understand that you have been ordained of God. You're ordained ministry tonight. This is so important. And everywhere I go, this year, I have been emphasizing this. Because we need to know that if the thing continues as it has been up to this date, then I know that the end of the story is that every tongue is going to confess Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee is going to bow unto him. And I'm looking out in the world today, seeing the church as it is, and I say, God, how's this going to happen? Father, I can't even conceive that it can happen while we're just like we have been. And part of that is the idea that people come to sit, to listen, to go home. And next Sunday you come back for the next dose. And there is no divine activity. You have been sanctified. You have been, not you will be. You have been sanctified and you have been ordained. You've been ordained of God, not by some man laying hands upon you, but you've been ordained of God. Turn with me to Psalm 8. This is just a foundation here where start the message sometime later. It says here in verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you visit him? Because you made him just a little lower than the angels. You were made just a little lower than the angels. No. The Hebrew word there is not angels at all. It's Elohim. You were made just a little lower than God himself. Are you hearing this? Never mind about the angels and their wings flying around, you know, that's our concept of angels. An angel actually in the Bible is simply a messenger, that's all. And I don't read where God gave them wings. But anyway, that's fine. So, he says, you've made him just a little lower than Elohim and crowned him with glory and honor. This is mankind. This is you. Every one of you, men and women. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Every one of you.
Yes.
God has made you just a little lower than Elohim himself.
Yes.
And you have been crowned with glory and honor.
Yes.
You see, we have never really understood who we are. Oh, we say, well, you know, I am Christ. And so there's a lot of people running around today saying, I am Christ, I am Christ, I'm born again, I am that I am, and all of these things. I remember the church that I preached in some years ago. They never invited me back, but anyway, that's okay. But it was the church of the I am. I mean, I saw it on the sign out the front before I walked in. But I looked around the car lot there, and every tag plate had I am on it. So I thought, this is interesting. So I walked in, and the pastor greeted me at the door, and I said, and how are you today, sir? He said, I am that I am. And I said, God bless you, that's wonderful. Everybody else, good morning, how are you? I am that I am. This was the reply from everybody. That I think it's all they could say.
Yeah.
I am that I am. I don't think they even knew what they were talking about, but still, they said it. So we have to understand today that knowing who we are is so very important. And over this time that I'm with you, I want to help you to understand who you are. Not just by telling you that Christ dwells in you, because you already know that, and I'm sure your pastor here has already told you 1,000 times anyway. You know, Christ is in you. And so you go and say, yes, Christ is in me. You know, you could tell somebody, yeah, Christ is in me. I know that's true. But see, that's true in your knowledge system, but not true in your consciousness, which is your heart that the Bible talks about. When it talks about your heart, it's not talking about your blood pumping the blood around your body. It is talking about your consciousness, that is what you know that you are without thinking.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with it. Anybody told me, I just know that I know that I know. That's your consciousness.
Yes.
It's a word that's not in the Bible, but I'm telling you the truth is in the Bible.
Yes.
The truth of consciousness. And so it says here in verse 6, you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. What does that mean? It means that this world is under our control if we will pick it up.
It is.
We have authority over all that God has created. What is that? The heavens and the earth.
Yes.
And we have authority over all of that. So in Australia, just not long ago, we had floods. Didn't come anywhere near my house, and I had lots of people emailing me saying, I hope everything's okay there with you. We're praying for you, you know, so that you're not getting washed away or something. And it was nowhere near us. I mean, the actual floods. We had the heavy rain, but we didn't have any floods because there's no big river where we live. But Brisbane just about went under completely. All the suburbs went under water, right over the roof of many of the houses and so on. And it was quite a tearing, you know, difficult time for many people. And so many Christians said to me, couldn't God stop the flood? I said, sure. Well, why didn't he?
Yeah.
I said, you don't really want to know.
That's right.
And they said, why not? I said, because you'll have to apologize to God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because they have to. Of course. Why? Because God has given you dominion over all the works of his hands.
Yes.
You see? And, you know, I mean, Noah would have been in trouble if there'd been a real born-again person there beside him, or in the area at that time. And when the floods came, you know, when the rain came, they'd put up their hand and said, that's it, no more.
Yep.
Of course, it would have messed up God's plan. But there was nobody there then, you see, nobody. So we understand now that all the works of God's hands are under our control. That means the earthquakes. That means the tsunamis. That means the volcanoes. That means the floods. That means the droughts. That means everything that happens on this earth is under our control. Now, not under the control of somebody that may happen to be ordained by men to be a preacher, but you have an ordination in this, and you have been ordained to function in the dominion, that is the right to rule,
yes,
that you have over this earth and over the heavens. So people are still a little worried, and they're getting a bit more worried as they know more about the stars up there. And they say that if there was one of those stars that got out of kilter and it headed down here and hit this earth, the whole thing would probably, you know, just explode. Well, we are given dominion,
yes,
over all the works of God's hands. So tonight, I want you to understand that you are very special people. Every one of you. But many are not yet functioning according to the will and purpose of God. So therefore, you have not understood your sanctification, which means that you've been set apart for a specific purpose in the will of God. Secondly, you've been ordained of God. That means that you have already been declared to have dominion over the whole earth. Most Christians today are only interested, really, in one thing. That's to go to heaven when you die.
Yes, they are.
Well, I want to tell you, you see, there's nothing up there that needs fixing. But there's a whole lot down here that needs fixing. And I want to tell you that you people here today are the kingdom builders to build the kingdom of God on this earth.
Yes, sir.
Now, the kingdom of God is not some religious concept of the world. The kingdom of God is to know and understand what God created this earth to be. Because I happen to know, I've read the last page of the book, and I'm not talking about Revelation 22 either. The last page of God's book. And there it tells me that this earth is going to be like the Garden of Eden.
Yes, sir.
And that the deserts, I've just come from Arizona, 110 it was yesterday, so be thankful you live up here. 110, I tell you, I don't know how they live down there. And last year it was 140 or something. Wow. It was really something, and I was kind of waiting to see what it was going to be like this year. Well, it wasn't near so bad, but it's still hot. So the desert, the Bible says, is going to blossom as a rose, and there will be streams in the desert. And how's this going to happen? When you and you and you and you become involved in the ordination that you've received from God.
Yes, sir.
That's when it's going to happen. And not until. So it means that there's a big job out there to do yet. We're going to stop the earthquakes.
Yes.
I want to tell you that this earth is revolting within itself,
yes,
according to the revolt that's in the heart of man. The unrest that is in the heart of man today is being mirrored in the earth that we live on. Are you hearing this? We had Christchurch, which is in New Zealand, just, you know, a little bit away from Australia there. And Christchurch, the city, was half wiped out, basically. Many, many, many people, I forget how many now, it's a big number of people that died in that. And just last week, they had another one. Not near as big, but still, it did quite a lot of damage. Who is it that's stopping the earthquakes today or is seeking to? Nobody. What can we do about an earthquake? I mean, we don't even know what's happening. I mean, you talk about an earthquake, well, that's just the, you know, the, what do you call them? The rock shelves under the earth there, one sliding under the other. And then if it's out in the ocean, it pushes up a tsunami. And then, like Japan, wiped out thousands of people. We're going to stop it all. We're going to set this place right. We're going to control it all. We're going to stop the storm and all the other things. What about all your, what do you call them, typhoons, hurricanes?
Tornadoes.
One day, some of you people are going to put up your hand to that tornado and say, that's it, boy, no further. Yep. And you just watch that tail back up into the sky, gone. This is not some religious talk that I'm giving you tonight. This is reality. And I want you to know that this is our responsibility. It's our responsibility in God. Okay, so that's the foundation. Now, I want you to go back to the very beginning, to the book of beginnings, which is Genesis chapter 1. And in verse 26, this is a verse that you know very well and I preach on so much, but I cannot get away from it because the truth that's wrapped up in this one verse is so tremendous, tremendous. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let us make man. And it says here, and let him, not them.
Right.
But the translators, of course, didn't understand. And so therefore, because, you know, we've got men and women today, they didn't understand, so they said we were going to put the word them in there. But see, we were created in the likeness and image of God, and God is not a them. Hello.
Yes.
God is not a them. He's a him.
Yeah.
Yes. And when I say a him, because you women are looking at me and say, oh, yes, oh, of course, you're a man, so you would emphasize this. No, no, you got me wrong, because I'm on your side, and you're going to hear that tonight. So it says here that let them have dominion, but it's let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and so on. So the dominion was given to the man.
Yes.
It was given to the man. And there's the man, because God said, let us make man. There's the man. No word of the Lord can return unto him until it has accomplished what God sent that word to do.
Yes.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
It is.
And you need to understand this. Because if you understand that, you're going to be able to do some work for God.
Yeah,
why? Because what you say, if you are going to say what God is saying, is going to have the same power.
Same power.
Jesus Christ said, I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do what I see my Father do. The two were linked because what God does, he does by speaking.
Yes.
So the two things went together. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. When we have learned to do this, then we're going to start and exercise our dominion over the earth.
Yes, sir.
Because when we speak, if we speak the word that God is saying, and that's why to me in ministry it is so important for me to know what God wants to say. And I mean, God really caught me on the hop tonight because I was not prepared to speak on this subject, but God said, this is it. So I'm just listening for his voice to try and follow and say what he's saying. And if that is true, then this word is going to find a place in you to accomplish what God has sent it to do. And that is to energize you and to cause you to become that effective vessel in the hand of God. This man now that was created, let us make man. He's in the likeness and the image of God. Every one of you here tonight are in the likeness and the image of God. Does that mean God looks like me? I don't think so. What are we talking about? You see, that man was pure spirit. And this is how you were created, because you were in that man. Whatever that man was, that is what you are tonight, sitting there in that seat. You are that Christ, because it is Christ Jesus. That's who he is. The only son God ever created. This is him, and you are in him. That means that you are absolutely, totally identical to whatever he was then, you are now. The only difference between what you were then and what you are now is that now you have a body. Now you have a body. Verse 27. And God... So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. You can cross out the them. It's just the translators couldn't handle that. They couldn't understand how God could call, say that that man is male and female. Let me drop a little comment right here in your ear. God never created a woman. God never created a woman. Now you're looking at me. Yeah, he's another chauvinist, you know. No, I'm not. I'm on your side. You're going to hear it tonight. I'm on your side. But listen, what is the woman anyway? In the old English language, about 100 years ago, maybe a little bit more, the woman was called the womb man.
That's right. Yeah.
The man with the womb. That's where the word W-O-M-A-N came from. The womb man. You understand? So you're the man with the womb. God never created a woman. But when God looks at me, and he looks at the men here tonight, what does he see? He sees Christ in the image and the likeness of God. Well, what about you women? What does God see when he looks at you? He sees exactly the same. You are Christ, male and female, functioning together as one.
Amen.
You hear this? There is no difference. Come on. But there's a lot of other things that we're going to go through before we're finished. All right, so... Male and female created he them. The first thing I want you to know is male and female has nothing to do with the physical material world. But unfortunately, it's become part of the physical material world. So we have men and we have women in the world today. And these have grown apart to the point where they have become fixtures in the eyes of society.
Yes.
So we recognize a woman, we recognize a man, see? And we don't bat an eye about that. We just take that for granted. That's okay. Yeah, you're a woman, I'm a man. Yeah, that's okay. Of course, I know that, you know, you are the man with the womb. That's from God's point of view.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Don't get mixed up with this. Don't try and mix this, our world today, with the spirit world, because they are two very, very separate. So, you know, people said to me, well, what you're talking about, you know, these homosexuals and, you know, that don't know whether they are a man or a woman or what. No, forget all that stuff. That's got nothing to do with it. We are talking spiritually, and I want you to understand it from God's point of view. So it says here, God created a man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. Male and female.
Yes.
So the man was male and female,
yes,
that stood there that day, and that is Christ Jesus.
Yes.
He was male and female in the likeness and the image of God.
Yes.
Now, how did that how does that work? How was God in that image? Well, turn to James chapter 1 and verse 18, which is right over in the New Testament. And if you can find it there, it should come in. It's Genesis, Exodus, James. It's there somewhere. And it says there, and God, of his own will, he begat us.
Yes.
Of his own will, he begat us. God did not chase all over heaven looking for a woman in order to procreate. That man that stood there was not the product of a man and a woman. That was a product of God, who is male and female functioning together as one. Of his own will, that is, out of himself, he brought forth all of mankind. He brought forth the one man, but in him was all of mankind. But then I want you to notice something, because in that verse it says that we, that's the ones that God has produced, should be a kind of first fruit of the God kind of people. That's my translation, just to help you to understand what it means. We are the offspring of God. The offspring of God. You do not become the offspring of God by giving your heart to Jesus.
Right.
You do not become a child of God simply by asking Jesus to come into your heart, or whatever terminology you want to use. You cannot be the seed of God unless you are that man,
yes,
Christ Jesus. Are you hearing this?
Yeah.
You cannot be. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. I'm sure we're not going to get through this tonight, so it'll probably be a two-night session, this one. Otherwise, we'll be here for a long time. Because I'm going to share some things with you tonight that you probably have not heard about. And therefore, I'm going slowly, and I want to try and make sure that you understand. Come on. Chapter 17, verse 26. And God hath made of one. We got the word blood in there. You can leave it if you like. It's not in the original. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. God has made of one all the nations on the earth to dwell. So that means what? It means that all the nations of the earth have come out of the one.
They did.
And that one is God.
Amen.
So all the nations, it doesn't matter whether they've got a black face or a brown face or a white face or a pink face or whatever kind of color skin you might have. It doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter what language you're talking about, but they all have a common origin.
Yes.
And to put it in Bible terms, there is only one Father.
Yes.
Are you hearing this?
Yes.
There's only one Father. That's all. So that means what? Well, I'll tell you what it means. And if the world understood this, there'd never be another war.
That's true.
There'd never be any crime.
That's right.
It would be a totally different world if they understood this.
Sure.
This is what it means. The nations of the earth, all of those nations, have come out of God. That means there's only one Father. That means every one of you women are my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And all you men are my brothers.
That's
true. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
If we could only get hold of that. And that's why I can travel in all these countries. It doesn't matter to me. I'm in the middle of Africa there. I'm in Rwanda and all the black faces around me, you know. It doesn't make any difference to me. And I love it when I say, you know what? Your Father is my Father.
Yes, sir.
Oh, they think that's wonderful. There's a white face and there's a black face. Of course, you know, there's the smart ones that come and say, how can you get a dark-faced child from white parents? I said, you can't. But I'm not talking about from white parents. I'm talking about out of God.
Yes, sir.
And all God can reproduce is what He is. Come on.
Yes, sir.
You don't get a cat born into a dog family, do you? You don't get a horse even born into a cow family. They both eat grass, but they're very different. You see? So God, whatever He is, that is what you are. Whether you're a male or a female, it doesn't matter. You are whatever He is.
Right.
And He is male and female. So every one of you are male and female.
That's
right. Hello.
Yes.
You say, now you're really getting into this homosexuality and lesbianism and so on. No, we're not. It's got nothing to do with the physical world. Nothing whatsoever. Okay. Verse 28. It says, for in Him, that is in God, we live. That means if God ever died, there'd be nobody alive on the earth. You think about that? There'd be nobody alive on this earth if God died. But because God is alive, despite what the German philosophers said years ago that God was dead, you know, that was a big deal in some of the theological circles. They just said God was dead, so that was the end of that. Well, that would have meant everybody would be dead on the earth. Why? Because, you see, every life must have a source. And, you know, I'm not talking about barbecue sauce and all that kind of sauce. I'm talking about an origin. It must come from somewhere. Because, you know, if you women, if you are carrying a little fetus in your womb, that fetus is connected to the mother by an umbilical cord, according to which part of France you come from, you just speak that word a little differently. But that's the connection. And so if you cut that cord before the child is ready to be born, then it's going to die. It must be connected to its life source.
Yes.
Now you think that's just for a little fetus in there? No, sir, I'm going to tell you that there is a connection between God and you.
Yes.
And that connection is illustrated, perhaps you use the word illustrated, by way of words that we understand. Jesus Christ said in the temple one day, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being would begin to flow a river. Well, a river has to have a source. There's got to be some kind of fountain there or spring or something that will start that river. And it doesn't start in here, it starts in God. So when you are connected to God, the river can flow. If you're not connected to God, there's no river. You understand? Adam, in the Garden of Eden, he was functioning in that garden on the basis of a love relationship. And that love relationship meant that while that love continued and remained between God and himself, and himself and God, while that relationship of love was established and functioning, life would continue to flow to him. But if ever there was anything that broke that relationship, then he's going to die. So God said, you can eat the fruit of all the trees in the garden, but there's one tree here. I don't want you to eat the fruit, because the day you eat that fruit, you're dead. You see? What was he talking about? Was that poison fruit? No. It wasn't even a literal tree. I want you to know that. Neither is the tree of life. You know, there's been films made about the tree of life that they found somewhere over in the Middle East there and all this. There's no tree of life like that. It's not a literal tree. Christ is the tree of life.
Right.
Okay, so now we understand this. But that relationship that God had with Adam, when he took the fruit of that tree and he ate it, he did not eat it in rebellion. I'm not going to go into that tonight, but I have ministered, I think, probably here before I've told you, that Adam did not sin. It was for another reason. He ate that fruit, not in rebellion against God, but in order that there would be salvation and redemption for every one of us. So that we can have this meeting tonight. Because if he hadn't, we would not have this meeting here tonight. So that was important. All of these things then are fitting together. This is the man that was created in Genesis 1:26. He's in the likeness and the image of God. In God we live. In God we function. We function in God. This is one of the issues. You cannot function according to the will and purpose of God unless you're in God. Because you are not going to be able to do what God intends for you to do. We are to take authority over the earthquakes, to take authority over the volcanoes, to take authority over the tsunamis and all of these other things. And the storm, to be able to put up a hand and stop it. If we're going to be able to do that, we have to have a direct connection with the Father. Otherwise, you will not be able to do that. God is not going to give you divine power to destroy any other power. So if you're sick, don't ask God for power to heal. God is not going to give you power to heal anything. Because sickness has no true reality. And there is no power in this universe apart from God.
No power.
You hear this?
Yep.
No power. And until you understand that, you're never going to be able to control the heavens and the earth. We are not going to have that dominion while ever you believe there's a power out there that can stop you doing what God wants you to do. There is no power. You go to the doctor and he says, you've got cancer and I'm sorry, sir, but you're going to die, you know. Oh, well, how am I going to get rid of this thing? Who's somebody, help me to... But it's not power over cancer. You see, I believe that cancer has no true reality. So I don't believe in healing at all. I don't believe the body needs to be healed and needs to be set free. That's all. Doesn't need to be healed. Cancer has no true reality attached to it. Now, having said that to you, please don't go to somebody that's just been diagnosed with cancer and say, hey, you know, you don't really have cancer because cancer's nothing, you know. Don't do that. Come on. You need to hear this by the Spirit. You see, the truth is that cancer has no true reality. Why not? Because you cannot show me in this book where God created cancer. At the end of creation, when God had created everything that he wanted, and everything that's in this world, in chapter 1, verse 30, and it says, and God said, it is very good. And there was no evil there. Nothing. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Because I tell you, that's what set me free. It wasn't God showing me how we could see the miracles like Jesus did. It was to show me that there was no power in this earth greater than the power of God. So God will never give you power to destroy another power. Because there is no other power. So, you know, I mean, I know Christians that are praying for power. God, fill me with the power of God. Oh, Lord, help us. In God we live. In God we function. And it says here, and in God we exist. If you want to exist tonight, You must be in God. So now, you understand from that verse 28 there, you understand from that you and I do not exist apart from God. See, the whole concept of Christianity in the world, generally speaking, from the religious world, says, you know, God's up there in the sky, he's up there in heaven, you know, and he's looking after that, and everything's up there, is fine, and so on. He's building a mansion up there for you, but you have to give your heart to Jesus and do this and this, and then you all become a Christian, and then one day he's going to come back. Now, that may take another few thousand years, but he's coming back. Because he doesn't lie and it's going to be true, he will come back. Well, that's what they hope. You see, it's nonsense. Can you understand tonight that you exist because God exists?
Yes.
Are you hearing that?
Yes.
You exist because God exists. Because you are in the likeness and the image of God. And there is no existence outside of God. That covers all of humanity. Well, what about the Hitlers? I mean, does he exist because of God? Yeah. What about Idi Amin? Yeah. He existed because of God. You see? Now, you're all kind of looking at me. Why? You see, we haven't really thought deeply into these things. We haven't, I'll tell you. And that's why there's consternation sometimes when I say some of these things. But I've had time to think it out, you know, think it through. And I know this is absolutely true. There is no existence apart from God. And that's for every person on this earth. So as far as giving your heart to Jesus in order to have life, if you don't have life now, you'll never have life. So when you talk about being saved, which simply means to be made whole, it's got nothing to do with heaven or hell or anything else, means to be made whole, that's all. So if you want to be saved, you've got to somehow make yourself to become a child of God. I tell you, you're wasting your time. There's not a person in this building that could become my son. You hear this? Wouldn't matter what I did. I could say, well, look, I'll adopt you. I mean, you know, I love you. I think you're wonderful. Yeah, I think you'd make a great son. And I could, yeah, you can be my son. No, it doesn't work.
Not like that.
You cannot be my son unless you are born into my family. And the seed that produced me will produce you. Then you will be my son in the natural sense. And unless God spoke you into existence so that his life became your life,
yes,
and what he is becomes what you are.
Yes.
Because that man did not have a body. He was pure spirit.
Right.
He was pure spirit. But spirit is male and female functioning together as one. Are you getting that?
Yes.
You need to get that established in your mind. Spirit is male and female functioning together as one. It was never intended to be what we have it today. Well, when I say never intended, no. Perhaps I should rephrase that. What you see today and what we understand with our natural mind is not the reality. Let's put it that way. That's better. Because that's the reality. The reality is not what you are seeing with your eyes. What did the Apostle Paul say? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. What did he say? He said, everything you can see with your eyes is passing away. It's only the things that you cannot see, they are the realities of life. So that means spirit is reality, your body is not.
Yes.
You can see it. And anything you can see is transient. In other words, it's here today, gone tomorrow. Or like the barbers say, here today, gone tomorrow. So this is important now that we understand. Now I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And like I say, this foundation is very important because you're not going to understand it otherwise. So Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28 this time. We're going just one more verse. And it says here, and God blessed him, again, wipe the them out. God did not create a them. God blessed him and said unto him, because it's the man he's talking to, not a them, it's a him. But you understand what's happened? You see, when the translators saw this male and female thing, they said, well, it's got to be a them, so we're going to change it to a them. See, the guys that wrote the original was wrong. But he wasn't wrong, because he knew more than these fellows that are smarter, you know, think they're smarter anyway. And so they changed it to the them. This is how it should read. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he. And God blessed him and said to him, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You see that?
Yes.
Have you done it? No. Why not? Because we didn't understand.
That's true.
And I said we, not just you.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I'm sharing with you tonight something that rocked my boat as great as it's ever been rocked in my life, to understand what I'm sharing with you. So, God said to the man, but what is the man? He's male and female functioning together as one.
Yes.
That's what he is. So God says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But God is talking to you, every one of you. He's talking to you. Now remember, I've told you, let me remind you, you do not have an existence apart from God.
Amen.
You hear this? You have no existence apart from God. So if you want to leave God out of your life, you might as well leave yourself out, because you have no existence in this world. And this is the lost condition of mankind. Not lost because they've lost God, because God's not lost. He knows exactly where he is. You know, I've heard all these testimonies. I found Christ. I said, I never thought he was lost. How come you found him? He was never lost. It's not Christ that's lost. We're the lost ones. We don't even know who we are. Did you know before tonight that you were male and female? Mm-hmm. You knew? God bless you. Hey, you're way ahead of me. All right. So this is interesting. This is very interesting, especially. Okay. So now, he said, be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful and multiply means that you must be able to procreate.
Right.
Well, this is very interesting. Why? Because God only ever created one man. That's all. He never created two men. One. And he says to that man, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. One man, what a job. Oh God, help us tonight. Father, we need you. We need you, Father, because our natural mind has no capacity to really understand these things. But Lord, we're looking to you tonight. Teach us, Father, by the Spirit. And unless the Spirit of God teaches you this, you will not understand. So the man was told, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So a number of years ago, I said to God, you know, Father, my wife and I, we've had 5 children. We had 17 grandchildren. We've got 12 great-grandchildren now and a whole lot more coming. I think we've done our little bit toward filling the earth. And God said, it's got nothing to do with it. Oh, Lord, you mean to say this got nothing to do with it? Well, then what are you talking about? You're talking about reproduction. You're talking about being fruitful. You're talking about filling the earth with people. What are you talking about? Well, of course, I didn't understand that. And it took me a long time before I did understand. In fact, it's only 12 months ago that God began to open this to me as I now understand it. That's only 12 months ago. And I've been studying that book since I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. But I never understood it.
Yeah.
So I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm not judging anybody. I'm not saying you're wicked people because you don't understand this. I didn't understand this. In fact, I'll tell you, probably 99% of the world out there does not understand this today. I've never heard anybody preaching on this yet. Maybe there are out there. I'm not saying there's not. And I don't think I'm that unique in God. I'm sure there are others that have got the idea. But anyway, God revealed this to me. So now, we are male and female functioning together as one. So therefore, we have the capacity to procreate, but not as we have done in the past. Because I could not have a child myself. It was only with my wife that I could have a child. And she couldn't have a child by herself, even though she's got the womb, but she couldn't have a child by herself. She needed me. So it was only when the man and the woman came together. But God never created a woman. Oh, God, help me. Lord, how does this thing work? How do we fill the earth? When Adam was on the outside of the garden, he had a little word with Eve and said, you know, I think it's time we started a family. So he had forgotten what God had told him in the garden. Well, if he hadn't forgotten, at least it didn't work for them out there.
Right.
And so they said, okay. So they had a son, and his name was Cain. And then a little while later, they have another boy, and his name is Abel. But the sad thing is that one day out in the field, Cain murders his brother.
Yeah.
Was this what God was talking about? Was God talking about having children that would grow up and murder their brothers or sisters? Was he talking about having children that would go to Vietnam or would go to Afghanistan or would go to some other place there and kill people? Is this what God was talking about? I don't think so. I don't think so. You see? Well, what was he talking about? I've had many people, because I love to stay in homes rather than hotels. They're pretty bleak kind of places, you know. I mean, they're comfortable and all that. But I like to stay in homes because I like the contact of people. And in many cases, I have an opportunity to minister into a family. And I've had many, many parents say to me, Brother, would you pray for my family? Pray for the children. I say, well, what's wrong? Well, they're fighting all the time. How do you stop your children fighting? Well, I said, tell me about your marriage. I said, you and your husband, how do you get on? Oh, you know, we have our differences. I said, do you scrap a bit? Yeah, well, we do. Well, I said, when you quit and you begin to love each other, I said, the children will do the same. I said, you're teaching them. They are watching you. And if you are angry together, get together, and you get angry with each other, hey, the children, that's how they learn. They're not studying some encyclopedia, how to raise a child. They're just looking at mum and dad. And whatever mum and dad are, basically, that's what they're going to become. And I want to tell you, listen, This was the challenge to me. Because how many children today, in this world, who are growing up in so-called Christian families, but they're out there on drugs.
Yes, sure.
They're getting drunk on alcohol. They are playing around with their girlfriends and so on. What's gone wrong? I'm talking about Christian families. I'm not talking about the riffraff out there. I'm talking about families that actually, or parents that come to church.
Yeah.
But their kids are not there. Why? Because they have not seen anything in their parents that says, hey, I want what you've got.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is the challenge. And I'm not judging you because I've judged myself. I've judged myself. God has blessed me, blessed our family. Not because I did everything right. No, sir. But God has blessed my family. And they love the Lord. They don't all understand what I understand, but they love the Lord. You see. But there are so many Christian families today who the parents go to bed at night and the kids are not home. Teenage kids, they're not home. And they lay in bed awake wondering, is there going to be a knock on the door tonight? I'm sorry, sir. We've just found your daughter's body down the road there, you know. We're very sorry. Why is this? Something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
Outside the garden, they could not produce what God required. When God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, he was not telling you to go out and get married and have children. That's not what he was saying. But in chapter 2 and verse 24, it says here, let's go back to 21. This is what happened. This is what started the thing. And of course, this was the work of the Lord God. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to understand how this all works. But I'm telling you, this was what God was doing, the Lord God. It says it caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept, and he's still sleeping.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of the Adamic dream world. This is the beginning of the illusion of life. And if we're not careful, we'll go right through life under that illusion. And we'll not see the truth. We need to. We need to be asking God tonight, talk to me, Father, speak to me, speak into my heart. So it says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, verse 22. So this is where the woman comes from. But this is not a creation. And for over 10 years, everywhere I have gone and I've ministered on this, I have told people, this is not literal. It is not possible for anybody to take the female out of the male. It's not it could not be literal. I have preached it for 10 years. But in my consciousness, I didn't believe it. Isn't that an amazing thing? It shocked me, I'm telling you. That rocked my boat. Really, it nearly sunk it. I mean, I just didn't know which way was up for a while there. I could not understand. How could I be preaching and telling people, this is not literal, that experience there. The woman was never taken out of the man. It's an allegory. That's what it is. But I didn't believe it. And I know you didn't believe it either. You believe the woman was taken out of the man, haven't you? Every one of you. Come on, be honest.
Sure.
Why? Well, because you see, the woman was brought to Adam. Now, if Adam had been in his right mind, that is the Christ mind, which he was Christ. So if he'd been functioning in the Christ mind, He would have looked at that woman, what would he have said? He'd have said, who are you? Where did you come from? Because I know God never created you. So I have no idea who you are, but I don't want anything to do with you. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He said, looking at the woman, you are bone of my bones. You are flesh of my flesh. Where did the flesh come from? Adam knew nothing about flesh. That's the first time that word was used in the Bible. Adam knew nothing. There was nothing at all said about flesh. He was not flesh. He was spirit until the deep sleep came upon him. Now he believed he's flesh. What did he do? I'll tell you what he did. He aligned himself with the woman. Now Adam, who was Christ in the garden, now assumes the role of flesh and blood. Yes. Humanity. And so he looks at the woman and said, you were taken out of me, therefore I'm going to call you woman. And they were together. That was the beginning of a new era. That was the beginning of life as we understand it on this earth. That was the beginning. So the reason why I know that every one of you have believed exactly the same thing is because you never looked at this woman and said, where'd you come from? I don't know who you are. I know God never created a woman. You never said that to her, did you? I never said it to my wife either. Not until 2 months ago. I'm honest. I'm being honest with you because I'm telling you. I did not know. But I'd been preaching it. Are you hearing this? This is the difference between knowledge and spirit.
Yes, sir.
There's a big difference. You can know it up here in your head, and this is what's happening in many Christian lives. They are gathering knowledge about God.
Yes.
They are learning about the Bible. This means this, and this is this, and so on and so on. So they think they're very clever now because they understand a lot of the Bible. It's all up in here. But I want to tell you, it's only what's in here,
yes,
in the spirit,
yes,
in you, that is your reality.
Yes, sir.
So when I'm telling you that you don't have an existence apart from God, you need not to have that simply as knowledge up in here, but you need to have it in your consciousness. I and my Father are one. Come on, you're hearing this? You thought that was just Jesus Christ, didn't you? Yeah, well, he said that. See, he said, I am my Father. Hey, can you say that tonight? I and my Father are one. Not two separate people. We are one. Jesus said very, very clearly, do not call any man on this earth your Father. Did you hear that? Do not call any man on this earth your Father. Why? Because you only have one Father. You see? Now, I'm talking about consciousness here. I'm not talking about what you know in your head, because you probably all know in your head what I'm saying is true. But you've got to know it in your consciousness. I and my Father are one. You have no existence apart from God. All right, so now you see, we've got the man and the woman now. So this is where the plot thickens. Because you see, man was created male and female, functioning together as one. You cannot function out of the spirit until those two have been united. So when you come to understand, you know, what's been taught in the churches and so on over so many years, we realize that man has been divided into three parts to be equal with God. So what do we talk about? We talk about a body, We talk about a soul, and we talk about a spirit.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, the truth is, you are spirit, that's all.
Yeah.
Your body, your soul could never be separated in any case, because the soul represents the woman.
Yes.
But it means that we have been able to divide spirit. If we believe that we are a body, a soul, and a spirit, then we must believe that the spirit could be divided. And the female taken out here, and here's the male.
Yeah.
So you've got two now,
yeah,
not the one. But the truth is, verse 24, and this is God speaking. For this cause... What cause? In other words, what was the reason for this? That's what he's saying.
Yes.
For this reason, because the woman has been taken out of the man now is going to leave his father and his mother and is going to search the world to find a wife. And then he's going to cleave to his wife. And the two will become
one
flesh. Come on. One flesh, not just one, one flesh. The best you're going to get out of your marriage is to be one flesh.
Yes.
And you'll still be two individuals.
Yep.
You cannot be anything else. You are just two individuals. And I want to tell you, you will never have a true marriage on that basis. When I say a true marriage, we had a good marriage, my wife and I. I mean, just on general observations in the world, because we never had any great fights or anything like that. And we had 59 years of marriage. We watched our children grow up, we watched their children grow up, and now we're watching the children of the children growing up. And God has just blessed us. But I want to tell you, you see, up until about 2 months ago, we had a good marriage, but we were still two separate people. So, for this cause, what cause? Because the woman has been taken out of the man, therefore we are incomplete, all of us, not just the men,
yeah,
because you women, you've been looking for the other part too, haven't you? I want you to know, every email that I've had from my wife since I left home, she signed it, the other half.
Excellent.
The other half. She knows. She knows who she is now. And it has transformed her life.
Yes.
Now, like I say, we never had any fights. It wasn't that. That wasn't the issue, but there were certain things in her upbringing which caused her to, you know, have certain attitudes and so on. Not bad attitudes, but you know, they affected her life. The fact that her parents did not raise her, it was three sisters that raised her. Because her eldest sister was so much older, they raised her. And the parents were getting on in years. So, this is a reality that we're all going to have to face somewhere along the road. Because God, I believe, is preparing a people.
Yes.
See, we're talking about, we're going to straighten out this world. We're going to bring the kingdom of God into this world.
Yes, sir.
And the kingdom of God is not going out trying to overcome the nations and get everybody saved and what have you. No, no, no. We are to be fruitful within ourselves.
Yes.
And we are to fill the earth with the God kind of people. We can't do that until we understand the truth.
Yes.
We really can't do that. We think we've done it. You know, people say, well, how many people got saved this trip? You know, I say, I haven't got a clue. Not my business. That's God's business. Because salvation to me is not calling people out, give your heart to Jesus, you know, and put your hand on the head, God bless you, away you go. No, sir, it's something far deeper than that now.
Yeah.
And God is preparing a people. He's preparing a people that are going to build the kingdom. We are simply tonight learning how to become those people, the kingdom builders on the earth today. And so this is an interesting, shall we say, an interesting sharing together tonight. And I'm going to leave it here, because if I go any further, I'm going to have to keep going, and then you'll be here till midnight. So I want you to think about what you've heard tonight. I want you to really let the Spirit teach you, because I do not come to you as the teacher. That would be crazy of me to even think I could do that. Because in John 14, verse 26, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's your teacher. And I will guarantee you, Des Walter cannot put this truth in you.
Yes, sir.
I can put it in here, and I think we've done that tonight.
Yes.
I can put it in here, but it's got to be in here. And only the Spirit of God can drop it down 18 inches or however tall you are, maybe a bit more. But you see, it's very important that the Spirit of God teach you. I want you to understand that every one of you are male and female. And I'm going to share with you, perhaps tomorrow night, whenever, how this thing is working, how it works for us. Because this is the preparation of the kingdom builders. Because the kingdom starts in you. It doesn't start out there, it starts in here. And it's not until we get this thing straight. And I never understood this until 12 months ago, when God began to show me this thing. I said, Lord, why didn't I know this before? And he said, you wouldn't have listened to me then. But now I was ready. So tonight, may God bless you and help you and encourage you with what you've heard. I want you to be able to say, keep this in your mind. I and my Father are one. Until that gets into your spirit, until you're saying it from in here, not from up in here. Because when you can say it from the heart, out of your consciousness, you'll be getting somewhere. And then we will share the rest of this, of how to reproduce in God, because that's what God is looking for. And it is reproduction that's going to produce the kingdom builders. Not just people getting saved off the street, but it is the people in whom the Spirit is active and able to reproduce. May God bless you and encourage you, and thank you for being so wonderful. Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.